Howdy, and welcome to Curious Blend. I am your host, Keller Davis, the owner of CreateScape Coworking here in Austin, Texas. This show is about exploring the intersections between creativity, business, leadership, and philosophy. In each episode, we'll dive deep with inspiring guests who share their own unique stories and perspectives. I'm here to learn and stay curious. Our guest today is Hallie Ray Ward. Hallie is a fascinating, accomplished artist. She's also the creator of HRW Designs, a collection of apparel, prints, home decor, and more, with a mission of creating your environment with intention. And she's the art business director of Art for the People Gallery here in Austin. If you've ever been in the study hall room of CreateScape in the past 10 years, you most likely are familiar with her work that's adorned the high walls. Super colorful, interesting mixed media pieces, lots of repetition, pipe cleaners molded into what look like wavelengths. It's all so amazing, and I'm just very honored to have you here on Curious Blend today, Hallie. Thank you.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I mean, I was thinking about this, and like, we get members and guests who walk through the space all of the time, and I'm giving them a tour. I'm, you know, they're following behind me, and I'm telling them about the conference room or something, like, hey, it seats 8 people comfortably, you can book it online, blah, blah, blah. And I keep walking, and then they're like 20 feet behind me because they're just like transfixed on one of your pieces.
Oh, I love that.
And they're like, can you repeat all that? It's people get drawn into it constantly, and they always have. So it's
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a great fit with CreateScape, just being full of creatives and entrepreneurs, and I'm glad my work can be a part of that space and like spark creativity, or just remember to have play in your life and fun. So I think it's been a great fit.
Yeah, I agree. It's really shaped a lot of, I think, the culture of the space in the last 10 years too. So it's been really nice. Like, you also designed, I mean, as a wedding gift, you gifted me one of the Positive Glow orbs.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite pieces in our home. Like, it's just absolutely, like, it just really creates such an ambiance in the space. And I think you had something on your website for like your mission statement for your art, in terms of how like your happiness can be impacted by the art that you're surrounded by and the environment you create. And it definitely has done that for me and John.
Good. So. Yes. No, that is what I totally believe in, is like, create your environment, surround yourself with things and people and design and color that brings you happiness. So I'm so glad it's done that for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. I was also going to just ask, I mean, so I know like during like Austin studio tour and stuff, like I always hear you do like your, you know, your kind of rundown of your artistic mm-hmm. process when people walk in. I just, you know, just for our listeners on the show, can you kind of walk me through what, you know, your artistic process is?
Yeah, sure. So like the basis of my work, it's always, I always want to bring out positive energy, connectivity, and cleverness. And so that's sort of the general basis. And then I think of, okay, what do I want to create? And I love being inspired by the human connection, and we reflect on ourselves, our relationship with ourselves, other people, and nature. And so once I come up with the idea, then I think about like what materials I want to use to execute that. If I want to do one of my positive glow light beams or pipe cleaner works or one of the mixed media pieces. And then if there's like photos that I've taken or photos I can refer to draw color palettes from. And then I also love words, and I always write poetry with my work. So I also think about what words are with it. And just with anything, like with colors and patterns, they all exude like a certain energy and vibe. And so that's how I sort of think about what I'm trying to portray, what colors depict that, and how they go together. And so that's how I will pick out the colors, and then I'll start creating the piece. And then I usually write the poem about the piece after I've completed it. And then you do the business side of documenting it and editing and then posting it on your website and such.
Yeah. How did you, like, the business side of all this, like, how like, was it Art for the People that you kind of learned a lot of that, or was it before that?
You know, I've always had a blend of art and business because my mom's an artist and my dad's a business guy. So it's always been sort of within me. And the business, so I started art in college. And then when I did my senior thesis, I was like, this is what I want to pursue. And so after college, I worked for a sand volleyball club where I was the business director. And so that was the beginning of learning different administrative business skills. And I minored in business management. So I've always had that part in me. And then, yeah, I've worked at Art for the People Gallery for 9 years now. And that I've learned so much on the back end of how to show your work and document it and the marketing side and just being organized. So, yeah, Art for the People has been a huge contribution to my career as an artist.
Yeah, I feel like some people, they're good at one of the two things, but you've always struck me as like you balance it really well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, I know, because they're sort of on the different sides of the spectrum, aren't they?
It's kind of like left brain, right brain.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And, but you, if you want to pursue your art professionally, you've got to tap in to both sides. You know, you always want to create like the best work you possibly can, but also be able to share it with the world, you know, if you want to get it out there and sell it and show it. So it's important to, and that's what's great about the internet these days. You can learn so much and there's so many accessible tools out there that can help you do that.
For sure. Did you always want to be an artist? Like, I mean, what age did you really start to get inspired?
So growing up, I was a major athlete. Volleyball was my thing. And so, but with my mom being an artist and our house full of art, like I always liked to make cards for people. So that was sort of my creative outlet, like growing up, and all my friends were into music. So I always had this group of alternative friends, but sports was my thing. I wanted to own my own business. I was going to own my first goal was to own my own surf and skate shop and then maybe like design the boards for the shop. And then when I went to Eckerd College in St. Petersburg, Florida, I had to take an art class because my initial plan was play volleyball, major in business management. Then I took drawing one, and then I realized, wow, this is what I want to do, you know? So I decided to major in visual art, minor in business management, still play volleyball. And then doing the solo show for my senior thesis was when I had my first body of work. I had experimented with that, you know, different materials. That's when I started doing the wrapped lighting pieces, the pipe cleaner artwork. And then I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And so after college, I went to Europe to try to play professional volleyball. There were no teams that needed my position that year, but at least you got to shoot your shot. And then I came back to Austin, and then I started applying to shows, had some side jobs. And then, as I mentioned, now I've been at Art for the People Gallery for 9 years because I wanted a job that I realized at one point I needed a job that either contributed to my art career or was clock in, clock out so that I could prioritize my art.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I've been in very similar situations where I, you know, balancing like, you know, making money and like, you know, in your day job or anything like that. And also like working on your creative stuff is like, it definitely takes a lot of intention with like your schedule and stuff.
And time is so valuable. Like, and yeah, and that is the thing about wanting to pursue your art. And I want to be able to invest in my art, you know, because I love, of course, I love the idea of being a full-time artist, but you've got to make sure you handle the life responsibilities too. So I've been fortunate to find a job that contributes to my art and allows me to invest in my art. And financially, you know, I can be like, oh, I want to apply to this show or do this event or buy these materials. And I've been able to do that because I have another job that is helping support my career.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, and also like you're working in the art industry all the time anyway. So it's, there's probably opportunities and things you are learning all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm fortunate I get to like show my work at Art for the People Gallery too. And people always enjoy that experience when they come in and they'll be like, oh, are you a artist? And then I get to show them my work. And yeah, I've met so many people through that. So yeah, I think that's been a super ideal scenario where no matter what, everything I do is contributing to my art because it's all art.
Yeah. I didn't realize you played volleyball, you know, yes. as long as you did too. Do you still play it? Or?
I don't play it anymore. For fun, I'll do dance class or I go to the gym to work out. But yeah, volleyball, I love it. It's such a great sport. And I learned a lot of things. Like, it's funny because initially in college, my art professors were worried if I was going to be able to like balance, you know, majoring in art and playing volleyball. But I think it actually contributed to my success in art because I was used to working hard and doing things in a timely manner. And that sort of like that work ethic shined in my art as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've definitely seen the effects of like how discipline and habit building can affect multiple aspects of your life, especially your creative endeavors.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I love deadlines. Deadlines are so good for me. And so, yeah, it's been great to be able to take what I've learned in volleyball and apply it to my art career.
Oh, I love that. There are times when I'm not feeling inspired or I don't give myself the creativity, but having some kind of like structure or deadlines, like you said,
yes.
or just something like that, it makes a big difference in terms of like the creativity rushing back to me.
Yes.
And kind of, you know, building on that. So I totally get that.
Yeah, it is, because that's the thing, you know, sometimes it can be easy to like, oh, let me do the computer work side of things, you know, but then when you're like, oh, I need to create, if you don't dedicate time to it, time flies. You know, time goes by and then another month goes by. So it is having that discipline of let me sign up for that show, or something I've been trying to incorporate into my schedule is like, you can take 15 minutes a day to just like journal in your notebook or something. And so that's a habit I'm working on, is no matter what's going on my schedule, I know I could take 15 minutes a day to just like doodle, write, sketch something. And so it's all about figuring out those different outlets to keep the mind creative and going.
Yeah. For the last few months, I've been trying to just write every single morning right when I wake up.
That's great.
And it definitely helps, like,
yes.
the creative process.
Good. Yeah, because I've realized the value of giving yourself time to think, you know, because we're all so busy with our responsibilities and doing our jobs and life and relationships. And so sometimes you need to make space to think. And so that's great. You do it right in the morning when you're sort of waking up from your hopefully good night's sleep, and you can then just free flow.
How do you pick out the materials that you work with? Like, I know there's certain recurring themes in your work. Like, what drew you to those kind of materials to begin with?
Yeah, so I love fiber because I use pipe cleaners for a lot of my works. And then I also wrap my light beams in yarn, or like the globes and the orbs in yarn with the light mix. And the pipe cleaners came about because I went to college in Florida, and I wanted to make a video that showed my love for nature. And it, as an artist, you know, sometimes these ideas just come to you. I had a professor that really pushed me to do like mixed media and just be open to different materials. And so one day pipe cleaners came to mind. And so I stuck pipe cleaners in the sand on the beach and made a video of them like blowing in the wind, sort of imitating seagrasses. And they were multiple different like neon colors. So that showed sort of my positive pop, life is good attitude. But then having them blow in the wind showed my love for nature along the shoreline with the water in the background. So that was the beginning of the pipe cleaners. And then it led me to create like a 4-foot by 10-foot wall piece called Neon Grasses. So, and ever since then, I've been continuing to use pipe cleaners because I love their vibrancy and playfulness. And then when you get them all curly or blowing in the wind, they sort of have an organic nature to them. And so that's sort of the initial love for pipe cleaners. And then I love yarn because of the like warmth and softness it has to it. And then combining it with the light, it's just like you said, in your home, it just makes such a difference in that positive glow. You know, that's sort of what I call the overall series of my yarn and light combination are my positive glow pieces. And, you know, it in my senior thesis, I did a 4-foot by 6-foot piece of a grid of globes that I had on a wall piece that I had wrapped in fiber, and it was called Different Strokes for Different Folks. And fiber is just, it's a cool medium, and it has just been used for generations throughout history. And, you know, fiber is even incorporated into our textiles. And I just, something about it, it just really fits my vibe and the concepts of softness and warmth and welcoming that I want to show throughout my work.
Yeah, it's so tactile. Like,
yes.
You can really get lost in a lot of your pieces.
Yeah, exactly. And then what I love about light, I mean, everyone's drawn to light, and light transforms the energy of a space. And we all have like a light within. And I love with my light beams, with them color changing, you know, people take a moment. Like, if you glance at it, you won't even realize it's color changing. But then if you stand there for a moment, you'll see the subtle changes, sort of reminiscent of like a sunset or sunrise. And it makes the viewer just like take a moment for themselves, sort of a meditative state. And I love that combination of the light with the yarn. It's just very welcoming and has that positivity exuding from it. So it's been fun to use those.
With all the repetition in your work as well, mm-hmm. I know that's like definitely a theme you're drawn to.
Yes.
Is it meditative when you're actually working on the pieces?
Totally. Yeah. I definitely get into a zone when I'm doing it. And I love the practice of like wrapping the light beams or doing the pipe cleaners over and over and over again. And it does show the power of like the repetition of something small can make a huge impact, you know, which I think can correlate into a lot of different themes. A lot of a little makes an impact. So I do love that part of the process. And it's just like me taking time for myself and my art to then share with others this beautiful process.
Where do you think your positivity comes from? Because I relate to it, but yeah, I'm just kind of curious if, you know, if there was something in your life that kind of led you to be such a positive person.
I have a great life. Like, I've had very positive experiences in my life. I'm so fortunate. Like, and my family is huge. You know, I'm like, my mom's my best friend. She's my art mentor. And I see my family pretty much every day. My art studio's at their house, and they've been a huge part of my life. Every step of the way, always got my back, you know, and very engaged in my life. And I'm we get along on a personal, like a personality level too, you know. So I think that's been really huge. And then growing up in a beautiful city such as Austin, you know, I'm surrounded by a great city and nature. And then playing sports, you know, I was always that person after every volleyball point, you know, like jumping up in the air or high-fiving my teams. And so I think fortunately I was born with sort of a positive outlook, and then the experiences I've had and my family have been like huge in this, and that no matter what happens in life, you know, I've got my friends, family, and myself, we'll get through it, you know, the ups, downs, all arounds, and it's just the journey of life. And And positivity is a choice, you know, and because, yeah, it's funny because occasionally people will be like, you know, and not as much recently as everyone sort of becomes more of an adult. But first it was like, oh, are you just always positive? And it's like, no, I am human. Yeah. I do experience all the emotions, but it is remembering to have gratitude for the positives in your life and then choosing to walk in that path.
Yeah, I feel like gratitude does make such a big difference in terms of your outlook on life and the way
yes.
that you carry yourself and present yourself. Like, I mean, I've seen the way that your family has shown up for you in
yes.
so many different ways, especially when you're setting up for art shows and they're helping you hang everything.
Oh my gosh, teamwork makes the dream work. Like, it's like, I do not do it by myself, you know, and it's been huge. Yeah, it's like, okay, family, will you help me, you know, drive the U-Haul, or, you know, will you be there while I'm installing to have an extra pair of hands or a sounding board? So, yeah, you've witnessed it firsthand that they are very present and supportive and part of the team.
Yeah. My family has been, too. It's
cool.
It, like, just throughout my whole life, it's, I know not everyone's fortunate enough to have that kind of situation, but I, yes. you know, I'm friends with my parents.
Yes.
My whole family's always been just really kind to me and really nice
I love
to
that.
me and like have supported me and through like film and all these other like creative endeavors I've done. And
yeah,
it does make a big difference.
It's huge.
Anyone that you know who is not in that situation with like a supportive family or parents, like, and pursuing the arts or just, you know, being positive, like, is there advice you've given them?
You know, I think in the end, you've got to create your network of people. You know, who you surround yourself with is a reflection of who you are. You know, you hear that time and time again from different professionals.
It's so true.
And so it is like, if you aren't blessed with being born into the family that aligns with your vision and your passions, then find people that are. And that is what's great about the internet these days, is like, even if you don't meet them on the street, you can meet them virtually and then hopefully in person. And I think in the end, it is just a matter of you've got to do whatever works for you. Like, I mean, sometimes journaling positive things, or, you know, recently in the fall of last year, I hired an art life coach, you know, and so if you can invest in yourself in that way, I think that's one way to, if you don't have the familial support, you can afford to hire somebody to help you, a art life coach has been a game changer for me. And I, like I said, have the familial support, but this has been really great because they're focused on you and what you want to do and help you get to where you want to go. And so I think those, and that's something that can help, but also, yeah, just making sure you're doing things that spark happiness. If it's like eating your favorite meal or journaling or going to see a movie or taking that time to go for a walk and breathe some fresh air and hear the birds chirping outside, I think there's different little tactics that can help.
Yeah. Spending time with yourself and
yeah,
increasing your own sense of self-awareness and also just kind of taking care of your own, you know, self as well. Like,
yes, exactly. You have to take care of yourself so then you can be there for others and for your, and show up for yourself, you know. But yeah, if you're in the mental state, you've got to be able to say, I'm going to shift, you know, because we all can get stuck in those like rabbit holes of like, oh, I'm not doing good enough, or, you know, even me, yeah, who I'm very positive, but I'm always striving to do more. And sometimes I can get into like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not, you know, accomplishing what I want to accomplish right now, you know. And it's like, take a breath, be at peace with the pace. That's one thing I'm trying to really fully take in, is be at peace with the pace, and yeah, get rest, eat well, breathe, and one foot in front of the next.
You know, it's so important. I've realized that even just being vulnerable with like my own like insecurities and doubts and things, when I talk to friends about my artistic process, it has an effect on them as well, because sometimes I'm very positive to a lot of people in my life as well, but they don't always see the struggles as well.
Yes.
And having like conversations with people where we can kind of like also talk about like, you know, hey, here's what's working for me, what, you know, yes, what's going on in your life. It does.
It's relatable. Yeah. It is amazing. If you are vulnerable and share something of honesty, it allows another person to say, oh yeah, I've experienced that too. You know, when maybe they weren't going to initially start the conversation with you about it, but then you open up and then it's like, oh yeah, we're all going through similar experiences with different details, you know? So it's important to share that so you feel supported.
Absolutely.
You know, and not alone, you know. It's like, oh yeah, okay, just, yeah. And that's the thing about social media, sometimes it's always the highlights, you know, and so that's why it is important to still engage in those real conversations, you know.
Yeah. And art does that too.
Yes.
Like, I mean, just there's so many different interpretations and that people can take away from it just from like spending some time with art.
Yes, entirely. Yeah.
You have a lot of themes of nature in your art too. Mm-hmm. Do you spend a lot of time in nature, or do you travel, or is there anything that like influences?
Yeah, so I have my art studio, like I said, in Zilker neighborhood area, where the house I grew up in, and I do get to see a bunch of birds flying around in this beautiful backyard. And so I've got a primo view from the studio that allows me to enjoy nature in that way. And then just growing up in Austin, of course, being by lakes and rivers and lots of trees, I've been able to soak in all that. Going to college in Florida, I love the beach. I'm a beach girl. And then I have been super fortunate to do a lot of traveling internationally. And so I am totally inspired by the different landscapes. And like one of my best friends and teammates at the gallery, Lenny, uses the term like walking with the earth. And I love that because it goes back to the gratitude and groundedness that just remind us like we're all here on this earth under the same sun. And living life, you know? So, and there's a lot of lessons you can learn from animals and plants, you know, that remind you of sort of just like the foundation of our beings, you know? So, and I think, and everyone who has either a dog or a cat or is an auntie to one of those animals, you see, you witness that all the time, you know, how genuine and true and intuitive they are. So it's good to remember those similarities between us and the earth.
Yeah. I've been a dog person my whole life, but mm-hmm. I have, for the last year, we've also had a cat.
Oh, great.
And it's been like just a shift for me to kind of get used to cat behavior because at first I was treating her like a dog. And then I've started to realize, you know, kind of cat brain a little bit more and like what they want and what they don't want and
yes.
like how kind of so it's been an interesting
yes
thing for sure.
And in the end they just all still want love, they just show it in different ways.
Absolutely.
And that's like just like people too, you know, we all just want to be hugged, you know, whether just it's physically or just like knowing that people are there for you and love you, you know. Yeah, animals are hysterical. They love you. They love you. You know, it's so basic. No matter what, they show up for you every day. So.
Yeah, I agree. Do your parents still have the same house that you grew up in?
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, so it's our family sanctuary, and we just love it. And my brother has a studio where he writes his movie reviews and does a podcast as well. Then I've got my art studio, and then my parents have their house, and we love it. It's wonderful.
What a supportive environment.
Yeah, it's great. Exactly. And I also get to work from my art studio a lot doing art for the people work, you know, so it's just a wonderful space.
What's one of the most challenging pieces that you've worked on before? Like, is there one that's kind of thrown you for a loop or that was stop and start?
Yeah, so anytime I've done a lot of custom artworks for people, and that's either a version, an evolved version of something I've already created, or it's something new. So commissions are always extremely exciting. You know, it's also wonderful to commit to an artwork that's already sold, you know, but what comes with that is like creating the estimate and the logistics beforehand so you can communicate clearly with the collector, you know, how the artwork's going to go down and the price and everything. And then you, especially with my work, with the lighting and if I do like a sculptural piece, you know, I did this like 7-foot sculpture light beam piece that had, it was like a box with 3-sided mirrors and light beams inside, and I had created a version of that, and then I got commissioned to do a bigger version of that, and it's a better version because I had learned from the first time and such. But it takes a lot of thinking and logistics and planning to get those different components to align with what you want. And I am a big believer of if I can't do it like at the best quality, then I'm going to delegate and hire someone to do it, such as like carpentry work, you know? Mm. And so it's important to build your team so you can create the best piece of work you possibly can. And so, yeah, I would say as much as I love commissions, you know, I always want to make sure the collector is going to love it. and then that I'm figuring out the logistics and that creatively I'm creating the best work that I possibly can. And so sometimes I can have some anxiety about that and stress about that, but you just keep going. You just keep going. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's,
that's all you can do.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's what I love with my type of art, since there are different things that I figure out on the electronic side or bringing different materials together, is I have learned that anything is possible. You just have to go get the answers and make it happen. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm certainly no stranger to pursuing multiple things simultaneously. Yes. And, you know, you as like a visual artist and also having your own business with HRW Designs and mm-hmm. also working for Art for the People Gallery. How do you balance those things? And do you, I mean, are there kind of tricks that you've learned that kind of help your process?
So it is a lifestyle. You got to be all in, you know, and so right now, to find the balance, like some weeks I'm able to have more balance, and then some weeks require, you know, like for instance, I did an artist art fair earlier this year, so I took a week off from the gallery to be able to do that. And that's one of the big perks of my job, is if it works out with the timing, I'm able to take off like a chunk of time to pursue the art. And then sometimes the gallery needs all hands on deck when we're getting ready for an exhibition. So then I've got to sort of put my art to the side for a second to then dedicate to Art for the People. And what I am always working on is like my ideal schedule is to have like full days dedicated to one or the other. You know, I will do like a half day of this, half day of that, but I do find my ideal situation is like 2 days during the week on weekdays dedicate to art, 3 days to Art for the People, and then the weekend is a mix of either art, chores, fun, relaxation, or whatever, you know? And so I find that I feel better about my art and the gallery when I have my dedicated art days. You know, that's when I feel like I'm living my best life. And with Art for the People, it's good for me to take time away from it so then I can come back energized and not get stuck in, oh, I have to do this, that, and the other, and stay excited about the exciting things that we are creating, because I'm so lucky to be a part of a gallery that's a platform for Austin artists and putting on events and everything. But just like with anything, if you feel like you're burning the candle at both ends, it can wear you out, and then you lose the excitement of why you're doing it in the first place. And so I am really trying, and I've also realized the importance of self-care. You know, it's like I need to make sure I'm getting enough sleep and working out, taking that 10-minute walk outside. And that helps my art, you know, because I am so driven that I'll just work, because I'm very deadline oriented. Yeah, I can just work all day and then realize it's like, oh, did I go outside today? And it's like, well, you walked to your car, you know, it's like, and then I went back inside and I looked out the window, you know. So I'm realizing the importance of the self-care aspect, and that if you take, again, like you were saying earlier, if you take care of yourself, then it can expand to all the other endeavors.
Yeah, but it has ripple effects.
It does have a ripple effect. And so it's a constant being intentional, planning out what I am accomplishing, when I'm going to be able to accomplish it, and being disciplined on the schedule. But the new thing is really prioritizing the self-care aspect.
Yeah. I used to have more choice paralysis because I would have so many ideas and so many mm-hmm. tasks in front of me, but I wouldn't really create much of a schedule for myself, and then I'd procrastinate. And I've gotten a little bit better lately at blocking, like kind of what you're saying, like blocking off certain days or certain chunks yes. of time that's like, no, this is reserved for this, you know, this type of endeavor, this yes. is reserved for this, and then everything kind of falls into place a little bit better.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was telling you about my art life coach that I hired, like that I see her every other Wednesday, you know, and sometimes I'm able to do the homework or dedicate art time before I see her. And there's been times that I've just been full on art for the people, you know, or the gallery work, but I've never rescheduled that meeting because it was important for me to do that meeting. It's 1 hour. It's like a lunch break, you know, like do it. And then no matter what I have going on, I've invested in myself. So it is having that discipline and that schedule where you make appointments that are sort of non-negotiables with yourself. And that's how you'll feel good about all of your endeavors. So,
yeah. With your art life coach, mm-hmm. how important has it been for you to have a mentor in a person like that?
It's been crucial, you know, because I always have my mom as my art mentor as well. And then Lenny, who I told you is my best friend and my teammate at the gallery, she's also one of my mentors. But it was great to hire someone who wasn't already in my sphere, but is knowledgeable in the field, you know, and she's really helped me with also some of my personal stuff. You know, at first I came at her with like, oh, I have all these like exterior goals, you know, I want to show more art, create the best art possible, et cetera. And then I realized, oh, I have more like self work to do, you know? And so she's been truly very helpful in analyzing those like insecurities I have or aspects of my personality that I need to work on that will help me empower me more, you know? And so I've really enjoyed having her be there for me, but not be like obviously a family member, best friend, or in my work sphere. So yeah, I think it's, you know, at first I didn't know what to expect. I knew what like a volleyball coach did, you know, but I was like, what is an art life coach going to do for me? You know, it just felt like this vague concept to me. But she's been a game changer. So I highly recommend if you're able to hire a coach or find a mentor, it's critical just to open your mind and remind you of the different possibilities.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. It's like I've worked with therapists before, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's hard to find someone who you can really have a lot of trust with and whose yes. advice resonates for you. And so it's
definitely no. And I had a friend who she's a film director and editor and producer, and she used a therapist, and she wanted to make the move out to LA to live out there part time. And she used a therapist to help her make that transition, you know? So I think it can, and I hired one because I sort of felt like even though I was accomplishing great things, I wanted to, I felt like I was running in place a little bit, you know? So I think they can really, if you can find the right person that works with your personality and your goals, they can help you get to that next level.
How do you think you've changed as an artist in the last, say, 10 years?
Wow, interesting. Good question. I would say I've continued to evolve my concepts within the general idea of the positive energy, connectivity, and cleverness, but that I've been able to evolve the designs, make them better pieces, higher end pieces, and improve my technique. And I think I've also gotten much more engaged on the business side and my work ethic and just growing more in love with what I'm doing as like each day and each year goes by. It's just, I can't imagine doing anything else really, you know? And that really is a gift to know what you love to do and to be able to do it. And so, yeah, I think as I mature and grow and learn and expand, it's just all a part of the journey.
I was thinking about this because, well, the reason why I mentioned 10 years was just because that's how long I've known you.
Yes.
You know, CreateScape just celebrated 10 years as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was also very thankful to have seen you at the 10-year celebration event that we did in May.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Well, thank you for being there. And being supportive of the business over the years.
Well, CreateScape has been incredible to me because, yeah, I'll never forget. It was when I, you know, was first getting tapped into the art community. I'd signed up for the Austin Studio Tour hosted by Big Medium. And I wanted to show, you know, my studio's on the west side, but I wanted to show on the east side. And then you guys, Createscape, had like posted on the shared platform being like, hey, we're looking for artists to feature during the studio tour. We got connected. And being on the Austin studio tour and having your space is totally how I've like built my career as an artist. Being able to show at the same spot, have this like huge space to be able to curate my art, showcase my design line. I mean, when people came in, they were like, this is your own gallery and shop, you know, because I was able to show everything. And I was able to, I've gotten some of my biggest collectors from showing at your space and connecting with all these different people, get the additional experience of being able to curate my work year after year. And so I've learned a lot as well as like being able to show in your space. And yeah, I mean, I've done it year after year, and it's just, it's been a great platform for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love
you.
Hearing that. I mean,
I
felt so great, grateful to have, you know, for us to have like showcased your work for as many years as we have. I mean, I was trying to remember exactly how we first met, and uh-huh. I don't remember if it was Jensen or myself who put out the call for artists for, you know, curating a show for Austin Studio Tour. But I remember even at the original space, we like met and got to talk and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Cause that was a group show. And then I was like, hey, next, the following year, can I show again? You know? And then we've just built this awesome relationship.
Yeah.
And I feel like it all aligns really well with like my mission, Createscape's mission.
Absolutely.
Me working at Art for the People Gallery. We're both all a platform for these creatives in Austin and contributing to the arts.
Yeah, it's been mutually beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Has being in Austin influenced your work as well?
Yeah, I would definitely say so, because first of all, I love Austin because to me it's like a little big city. You know, there's lots happening and events and creativity and local business, and then we have the nature like integrated, you know, with Lady Bird Lake and all the trees and plants. And so my art is inspired by nature as well as just big on energy and movement and that positivity. And so I love that aspect of Austin, and it's a very like personable city too. And I think my art is very personable as well, where people, yes, it's contemporary work, you know, but they can feel connected or welcomed by it. And then especially then I give verbalized sort of my concept with the poetry that goes along with it. And I've had people like get emotional from reading my poetry, you know, because I do have the underlying human connection throughout all my work. And so they feel that in their own way. And so Austin's been a huge, I love Austin, and it's totally been a part of the inspiration behind my work.
Do you remember a particular emotional reaction that someone has had to your work before?
You know, I can't, you know, recently I've had a couple people read the poetry, and like I did this art fair in Dallas, and this woman read one of the poems to one of my light beams, and it reminded them of somebody that they loved that had passed on, you know? And so they were like literally like tearing up, you know, and it had really connected to them, because it was the light beams called Sophisticated Serenity. And it was just all about, you know, being open to different cultures and landscapes and traveling and to seize the day and just live life to the fullest. And so that's like one of the special connections I've had. Or I had a pipe cleaner artwork that the underlying theme was like music and dance, and somebody read the poem, and the poetry said something along the lines of like, you know, dance your heart out or something, and they remembered as a kid, you know, their parent wasn't as supportive of them, and they were dancing in their room, and their parent like told them like, don't do that, you know. And so then reading this poem that was like encouraging them to express themselves freely and dance and be free made them like tear up. So it's just, It's just, again, you just never know what people have going on, the people in their lives and what they're going through. And so that is the power of art, and then also specifically words that can just like pull at people's hearts.
Yeah, art makes such a big impact in people's lives at any age.
Yeah, exactly. And it can bring out, what I like to do with my art is, yeah, bring out the best and have people feel supported and loved.
What projects are you currently working on then? I mean, is there anything we can look forward to you in the future?
Yeah, well, you know, the first half of the year, I was really focused on, I did the Art 04 studio tour, which I had my personal art studio open. And it's a art studio tour that happens in the 78704 zip code. And then I did the other art fair, which was the first time I had done that, where I had a 16-foot booth of my art. And so the first half of the year was very focused on like the business side of my art and getting my work out there. And so I'm excited for this next part of the year is to start creating some new work, you know, build up my Positive Glow Light Beam inventory, and just sort of start planning on different ideas that I want to, that I've been wanting to explore, that but are going to require like more time. And so that's one of my goals, is if like I want to create outdoor artwork, I need to start experimenting now. And so I want to start trying to schedule time for that.
Yeah, cool. Who are some of your biggest influences in art? Like, are there certain artists that you really like have paid attention to more than others?
You know, my all-time favorite is Yayoi Kusama. I mean,
I was going to guess.
I mean, of course, you can tell, right? She's so incredible. Like, I just love, and she does so many different mediums. And, like, I love with her pumpkin series, how she, her parents were, like, seed farmers, and they used to have pumpkins. And she always loved how humble the pumpkin is and how generous it is. And I just, and to me, I can resonate with that, or I can see that from the pumpkin, you know? So I love that simplicity of concepts that also say so much and then can connect to the world in different ways. And so, and her use of light and mirror and colors and patterns. And so I definitely would say she's like my all-time fave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I'm traveling, mm-hmm. I go to a modern art museum every single time. Cool. Every city I go to, it's, and because I'm just, it's just one of my favorite things to do.
Yes.
And I think I was in Indiana and there was like one of her exhibits was there, and where you got to go into the room, and it was like, I think the pumpkins.
Yes. With,
like the, you know, black and yellow dots everywhere. And you just got to spend like, I think like a minute in just like the glass mirrored box with them. And
yes. The infinity rooms are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was obsessed. It was so cool.
Yeah, she's incredible. I've gotten to see her work in person a few times, and she's you know, being this female artist and in her, I guess she's in her 90s, and she's still doing it, you know? So it just shows that art is a marathon, and you can do it for the rest of your life. It's really beautiful. And it is so important to travel and see what other art exists out there, and, you know, whether it's from the super famous artists or just other today artists doing the good work. So,
yeah. I pick up inspiration from everywhere.
Yes. And, yeah.
Art galleries, especially, you know, anytime that I can really like sit with a piece, or just a gallery, like it has a big impact on my life.
Totally. Yeah. Art is so enriching, and I love when people have taken the time to invest in their space to have art and creativity and color, because it's so reflective of who they are and just livens up a room and creates that energy. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful to, like, yeah, between my own home, my art studio, Art for the People gallery, my parents' house, places I go, art, 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 art. Art is everywhere.
Well, your art definitely puts a smile on my face, and it does so many other people that I have seen be around it. So,
yeah, it's been fun. I love when people come in and they'll just start smiling, you know, and that is what it's all about, is having that direct impact and creating something positive and happy and of course, reflective, but with the overall theme of it being uplifting. And I love, and to remember to have some fun, you know, play, have fun, be colorful. So all the above.
Well, I could chat with you for so long.
I know, we could keep going.
I really appreciate you being here. But yeah, thank you so much. It's been so great to talk to you about all this, and it just means a lot for me for you to be on the show, just especially having known you for as long as I have.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and I'm excited to be a part of Curious Blend, and it's just so inspiring. So thank you.
Thank you to everyone who's been listening to today's show. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a review. It makes a big difference. I've been so grateful to have Hallie here on the Curious Blend podcast today. So until next time, I'm Keller Davis, and stay curious.